blow. Good morning, everybody. Oh my goodness, so exciting. I'm sort of terrified and my hair is everywhere. And I feel like I can't hear myself. Can you guys hear me? Okay, well, cool. Anyway. So hi, if you don't know me, I'm Ellie, but you probably should know me at this point, unless you're new, but if you're new, very warm welcome. This is a really great introduction to our church for you. Also a hello to everyone online, because I know there are a few people on there, and, you know, the online thing is actually really good, guys. Like, it actually portrayed really well at retreat last week, so that's nice to know. Anyway, so yes, I am one of the ministry interns here at Outlook, and I have been given the honour to speak with you this morning. And Pastor Nick beautifully introed us last week into the topic of this quarter of ancient paths and timeless truths. It was kind of funny how it worked out, though, because I was supposed to speak on Moses first, and then he would do the next part of Moses. So now we're kind of stuck in this awkward, we met Moses last week, but let's go back again anyway. I don't know. Yeah, anyway. Okay, cool. Let's just get into it. So like you were saying last week as well, we live in a world where it is so easy to find solutions. We're one click away from an answer, a prompt, or an opinion. It can be easy to go, who can solve this quicker than me? And who can do this better? And look, that is extremely valid for a couple of things. Like, if you don't know where I'm living, Maddie and her family very graciously opened up their space to me for a very good deal, given that it's kind of like half there. No, I'm just kidding. It's a very functioning house, but they've been really hacking away at it the past couple months, doing some renovations and extending it and making it better in different areas. But yeah, I couldn't be more helpful than painting a white wall. That's the extent of my qualifications. So Maddie's dad and brother, they're builders. Their company logo is literally plastered on the front of our house. So they're more qualified to build the house than me. But they have had to get other people in to do the stuff that they're not qualified for. They've called their mates and asked for a hand, and they work together to make a beautiful, functioning house. And it's skills that they've built up over years of training and experience. I reckon if I tried, I probably could build a house, but I don't know. I mean, like it would take a while. And I'm pretty sure, I don't actually know, but I'm pretty sure Maddie's brother didn't just start building a house one day. There was probably years of apprenticeship, maybe under his dad, I didn't really know. But now they're building our house, which is pretty cool. yeah, I guess, excuse me. What I'm trying to say is, why would God call you for something he doesn't think you are or are going to be qualified for? Food for thought. and you're probably sitting there thinking, what's this 19-year-old girl doing, thinking she can tell me how to live? Because me too, gang. I really don't know what I'm doing. No, I'm just kidding. But when I usually do stuff like this, I'm talking to the youth kids. And let's be real, they're just trying to get through school. So I don't have, no, I'm just kidding. They're really cool. They're really good people. And the young adults people, they sort of vaguely know what I'm saying half the time. But they do probably get what I mean when I say we have the whole world at our fingertips. So it can be really hard to decipher God through all the noise. And maybe the rest of the room is sitting with some sort of bitterness or disappointment and layers of questions that you don't think I can answer. And I probably won't. But I stand here before you with a humble heart, not wanting to preach at you, but share with you how real it is to argue with God and still have the desire to be a faithful and obedient servant. I'm going to pray. And then that page is done. Father, yeah, we just thank you for this opportunity that we get to get together to learn about you and hear more from you. I just pray that you'll be moving in this message and you'll be present in this room. Give me words that are not mine but yours, Father. I just want to honour you and give you glory. So I just pray for the room to have soft hearts and open minds as we go further with you. Amen. Cool. I've always loved the story of Moses. And I can honestly say that half of the reason is because of the movie Prince of Egypt. I genuinely love that film. I was trying to watch it last night, but I wasn't doing this, so I had to turn it off. So as much as I love that film, I think what I love the most about Moses is how honest and relatable he is. He's mostly known for like writing the Ten Commandments and being God's big vessel that got him out of the Israelites out of Egypt. But today we're going to be talking about one of his earliest moments with God, where Moses heard the call of God for the first time and was hesitant to answer. So I'm going to go back and provide some context real quick. I don't know where my brain just broke. So Pharaoh, who's the king of Egypt, he was really threatened by the existence of the Israelites. So he said, you're going to be my slaves now and you're going to build all these buildings for me. I don't care about anything you have to do. And yeah, let's just say he really cracked down on population control. Then Moses was born and hidden, but then he was like low-key adopted by the Pharaoh's daughter. So that was a cool little twist. I don't know how that actually worked, but you know. So he was able to be raised as an Israelite, but also an Egyptian. I don't know. Cool. Years pass. Moses wants to visit his people and sees how poorly they're being treated. And then he like accidentally kills one of the guards that's like telling the people what to do. So, you know, he's a wanted criminal at this point. And what do wanted criminals do? They run away. So that's exactly what he did. He ran off into the wilderness, rescued some girls at a random well, and then those girls brought him home to meet dad, and then dad gave him work, and then later a wife. When we meet Moses in Exodus 3, he's a shepherd, married, has a son, and is roughly 80 years old. So let's dive in. Exodus 3, if you didn't hear me, I probably should have said that before going in my context spiel. Yay. Cool. Excuse me. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. I probably said that wrong. He led the flock far away into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God, where the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it." When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of the harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the bunch of people, and some other people now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses protested to God, "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain." But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you.'" So good, right? So Moses has already argued twice in this one passage. How crazy. I mean, he honors and respects the holy ground by taking off his sandals, but still has the audacity to question God. His immediate response to a command from God is, "Who am I?" I mean, fair enough though, right? Like, he's sort of a fugitive. He's hiding in the wilderness, fearing for his life. How could he return to a place that surely hates him? There's so much shame and self-worth layered in this one question. And it's the same sort of question that we face every day. Comparison and social climbing, it can be easy to get wrapped up in self-worth and identity according to what the world labels as our passions. We are so fed by quick fixes and easy entertainment. Popular culture has a habit of telling us what we should be passionate about and then labeling that as our calling. And then the expectation to take that calling and push it on other people. Honestly, it's a really exhausting way to live in community. Who am I? I'm a 19-year-old girl, fresh out of home, 3 weeks deep in studies. Who am I to be speaking to all of you? But you know what God told Moses? How God answers all of these questions of self-doubt. I will be with you. How powerful and profound. You know, a burning bush saying, I will be with you. He says, go tell everyone who I am. And if they don't believe you, here's all these things. Show them what I can do. I'll be with you through all of it. And I think the crazy part is, if I heard God say that's me today, I would probably hesitate too. I did hesitate. Since the last couple days leading up to right now have been absolutely crazy. I am sick, if you can't tell. So I didn't really want to put in as much time as I probably could have into this because I was wanting to bed rot. I've had friends who have needed me. The power went out on Friday night and my friend's little siblings had been home alone, so I had to handle all of that craziness. I was a bit stressed. But I know for a fact that God was with me while writing this, and he's here with me right now. We welcomed here this morning with worship, and I can sort of just see him sitting in one of these empty seats, just smiling and nodding his head in encouragement. And I feel small and insignificant, but I want to be an obedient and faithful servant. And it does feel like it's going well so far, but I don't even know if the rest of this will go so smoothly. But I will be able to rest tonight, knowing that God was with me, just like he told Moses he'd be with him. If we journey a bit further with Moses, he argues another 3 times with God. 3 times. Even after God basically says, I'll do this really cool trick and no one else can do them and they'll believe you. Trust me, bro. Moses still drops excuses. In Exodus 4:10, what if they don't believe me? Oh, wait, that's 4:1, my bad. Exodus 4:1, what if they don't believe me? 4:10, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been and I'm not now, even though you've spoken to me. I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. And again, in 4:13, he begs, Lord, please send anyone else. And then God gets really angry. But let me act this out for you, how I see it in my head, because I think it's really funny. Ready? Okay, this is Moses. This is God. Where did I start? Yeah, see, even I'm getting tongue-tied. Who am I, God? I can't do this. Girl, I'll give you the biggest thing to do and they won't. There's no way they won't be able to believe you because literally, like, no one else can do that. Okay, but I'm literally, like, I'm just going to get so tongue-tied and I don't even know what to say half the time and I'm just like, I'm just so, oh. I literally created you, bro. How can you, like, are you dissing my art? That's crazy. Please, God, I just need to do something else. No. And then, boom, God gets really angry. And I had a really funny meme that was going to be on the screen, and then Nick couldn't figure out where I wanted it because, you know, it doesn't make sense. But basically, it was the Elmo meme with the fire behind him. Yeah, thank you. he literally crashes out. And then he says, fine. You could take your brother. I don't know about anyone else, but if I was told that I could go do this thing if I took my siblings, that'd be kind of annoying. So, I think that's really funny of Moses. because he had an open and direct line with God. And I don't know about anyone else here, but I've not actually ever heard directly, like, from God, like, except for the character that you just saw. He's in my head all the time. Like, that's how the arguments in my head look. But otherwise, I've actually not heard from him. but I'm off track, so let's go back. Moses, right. God is hand-feeding him a step-by-step plan on how to free God's people. How much clearer did God need to be for Moses to just do it? Let's put this into perspective. How do you feel God is telling you what to do? Is it through a loud booming fire? Is it through opened or closed doors? Is it through what might feel like a random one-liner from a friend? How clear is he being? And it's probably not that clear, is it? You know, we live in such a demanding culture. We should know what our next step is, like six steps ago. But then at the same time, we need to be free for the you do you mentality. I don't understand. That is so crazy. And like, how are we supposed to find rest and hear from God when we barely have time to hear ourselves? It's like iPhones, right? Who here has their phone on full volume? Exactly. I know for a fact, I went for the longest time, my phone was on like completely silent, like no vibrate, anything. And it was getting to the point where I was like missing important phone calls with work, all this crazy stuff. And so I had to eventually turn it on to vibrate and then, you know, turn off the notifications from the distracting apps, which, you know, sort of helped. But sometimes life still gets really loud and I still miss important notifications. And I feel like it can be like that with God a bit. We can choose to purposefully ignore his calls because we'd rather do what we want to do because you do you, blah, blah, blah. For me, like, we put up our excuses, and for me, sometimes it's that I'm so young, I thought I had, you know, I have forever to answer the call. What am I doing at 19? That's crazy. But, like, you know, when I did eventually turn on God's notification, I was still hesitating and I was still arguing, because who am I? And sometimes life still gets loud. So how do we turn up the volume on God's calls? If we take a step back from the scripture and go back to the context, God drops some pretty cool tips. Moses takes the flock into the wilderness to a mountain called Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, where when Moses gets close to the flame, God tells him to take off his shoes, for he's on holy ground. Moses heard the most clearly when he met with God on his turf. Nick spoke on it last week, where years later, Moses once again meets with God on a mountain. Now, I'm not saying go climb tabletop and you will hear God's booming voice. It just happened to work out for Moses because that's where his job took him. But we do have to make room in our loud and busy lives to meet with God on his turf. His turf could look like listening to worship music in the car rather than something random. It could be praying out loud on a walk. It could be sitting on the floor in your bedroom looking out the window. God met me on a hill, which is a crazy coincidence, but I don't mean that it's the only place God's going to meet you, but he did meet me on a hill. And then I later met him at the top of that same hill in worship. I feel like I've told this story 1,000 times, but it's literally my testimony. So this is why I picked Moses, because and I felt the similar calling there. But yeah, State Youth Camp, January 2025, time of my life. The plan going into the week, honestly, had been that it would be the last thing I was going to do with this church. Yeah, that's wild to think about. I was going to go into debrief when we came back and say, hey guys, love yous, but I gotta go. Because the plan was I was going to go with my mum to Brisbane, and then eventually I would make it back to America to do camp. It was just how it was going to work out. I couldn't see anything else working out. But walking up this hill at sunset on the last night. I don't know. And I just remember being so, like, overcome with so much, like, joy and love for the youth, for the leaders, for God. And I just remember this voice being like, so what are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with this newfound joy and love? And then, you know, it was through some other people praying for me, things that I didn't know that they knew, because obviously they didn't. Like, that's the Holy Spirit moving in there. I had never felt so clearly God calling me to a place to go and be faithful. And I fought for months. I fought so hard to try and find a way to make my timeline work. It was literally like 2 days ago I was on FaceTime with my friends in America trying to plan how to get on a plane after this morning so I could still be there for a week of camp in America. But obviously that's not going to happen. It was just a funny little dream. Because God made it clear to me that he wanted me here. And, you know, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have thought he meant literally here, talking to all of you. Like, that's that's crazy. I was still fighting. I still fight every now and then. I'm like, God, what are we doing? When things start to get sour, God, I'm here because you told me to be. One of the toughest nights, I was in tears fighting with God. I couldn't understand why I was struggling so much when I did what he asked me to do. But I think sometimes what we tend to forget is that when God calls, the enemy hears too. And he forms his own plan of attack. It can stir the confusion. He becomes the Pharaoh of our story. And see, that's why I believe it's so important to argue with God in a healthy way. Not, oh, Jenna, you're so sick. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to just defy you because you're like my dad and I have parent issues, blah, blah, blah. No, it's like it's a healthy fighting of why, questioning, give me the answers. But he's not always going to be like, give you the answers. But he is ready to counter the attack and show his glory. It might not be in several miraculous signs. It's the friends asking if you're eating right because they know you don't cook. It's the co-workers stopping at your desk just to chat because you make their day brighter. It's your uni friends sending you notes without you needing to ask. And it's job interviews you thought you bombed actually going well. It's a run of green lights getting you to work a few minutes early that leaves you with space to talk to someone you've never talked to before. It's the parting of the seas to get you across safely. Worship team, now's probably a good time for you to jump back up if you want. Do whatever. You guys are cool. I really love you guys. You do great stuff here. I might not know what it looks like in the long run to answer the call and keep going. But I do know that God has more than enough to overcome the excuses, to overthrow Pharaoh. He's just waiting for you to pick up the phone. And God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. If there's one thing you take away from what the 19-year-old girl is saying, I pray it's this. Lay down your excuses, because all God's looking for is obedience and faithfulness. This probably sounds like one of those easier said than done things, because it is. But that's why God calls us to be in community. And that probably also sounds like just a random throwaway line that I'm not going to have time to dive into today. But I don't feel like I need to, because we've spent months. Someone's got their sound on. Sorry. Yeah, we've spent months working as a community to just figure out what that looks like as a community, to be obedient together, to rely on each other, to go to each other and say, hey, I feel like this is what God is saying. I don't know what to do with it. And then be accountable with it. I feel like we've done that really well. So I think that's just the important thing you've just got to plug in. Because I am just one example of how living in community with God can change you so quickly in such a short amount of time. And you can always ask Kaya, who's in kids' church, how many times I have to tell her to stop being silly and just go do what God's telling her to do. And it's not because I'm not being silly. That's just what we do. We tell each other, stop being silly. And I'd probably get some of that bluntness from Liam, because he chased me for months trying to figure out if I was going to be doing chaplaincy. And it took me months. Like, 6 months ago, I was like, I want to be a chappie. I've really been studying for 3 weeks, guys. God gave Moses his brother, and Moses' wife and kid went with him too. And Moses was scared. God said, I will be with you. God gave me all of you. So what would it mean for us as a community to lay down our excuses to God? What would it look like if we slowly started working with God rather than against God? What would it look like to be a good and faithful servant? But argue with God in this healthy way, and he will show you his glory. And if you're wanting prayer for this, we have a lovely team of people who will be down here after the last, song. But for now, I encourage you, lay it down at the altar. God has called you for something. It could be something small, something crazy, something big. But he's called you for something. You just need to be willing to pick up that phone and hear what it is and be faithful and obedient, willing to hear him. I'm going to pray and then I'll let the worship team take it from there. Father, drown out the distractions, God. It's really tempting me here right now. But I want to hear from you, and I pray that this room will hear from you too, God. That it's this last few minutes of worship that we'll have time to reflect on what it is you're calling us to do, Father. And I pray that they will just, leave those burdens at the altar, leave the excuses. We might feel unworthy, but Father, with you we can do anything. And I pray that that'll be found in this room today. And as we go into our week, that we will remember that. I'm not going if you're not coming. Thank you, God. Thank you for this community, and thank you for these people surrounding us, that we get to lean on each other in you, that they know what I'm saying half the time because I've built that community. And I just thank you that we get to keep growing that, and we will get to see the fruits of your work, Father, as we lay down our excuses.